Uh-oh. Ooh, that would have been terrible. I echo those sentiments. A lot of people ask, what's the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day? Well, you'll know Veterans Day is where we honor all those who've served in the military, and Memorial Day is where we honor all those who've laid down their life in the military, and also other, as was prayed, other family members, other friends who we've lost in this last year. And perhaps some of you will be going to the cemetery today to decorate graves, a long-standing tradition in America. To Memorial Day weekend, go to the cemetery, or last weekend, and decorate a grave, and take some time to remember those who've gone before us. Well, I'm in the same camp as you this weekend. I didn't get invited to the lake. So we're all here together, right? All of us who didn't get invited to the lake. It's graduation season as well. Not only Memorial Day weekend, where it's appropriate that we celebrate the Lord's table for Memorial Day weekend, but also graduation season. How many of you have been to a graduation recently? Anybody here been to a... Look at all the hands, okay? They're even doing kindergarten graduations now. Have you seen those? The little cap and gowns for the little five-year-olds. It's really cute. And, you know, those kindergartners, they have that tough decision what they should do with the rest of their life. And then there's the middle school graduation, sometimes the sixth grade graduation, and those are fun. And then the high school graduation. Do we have any high school graduates here? Anybody graduate? Oh, good. Yes. The high school graduation. Some of them are still very honorable. Some have gotten really loud and crazy. You know, the new thing is you walk across the stage, and right before you shake hands, you stop, take the selfie. So, you know, it's gotten a little crazy at some of the graduations. Any college graduates or any university graduations you've been to recently? Yep, okay. 2 weeks ago, we had our Dallas Seminary graduation, and it's good to see some of my Dallas Seminary friends here. And these guys, they weren't just, you know, welcoming me. They were up here trying to get better grades. You know, they were trying to get me to raise their grade a little bit. But the Dallas Seminary graduation, they've still tried to keep it very honorable. They try to keep it quiet. You know, they don't allow the air horns. They don't allow the streamers. They don't allow the screaming. So they've tried to keep the Dallas Seminary graduation really honorable. And one of the gentlemen that's been the line leader for many years, the marshal, he was in Israel. So he was on a trip with some of the students in Israel, and the academic dean tapped me on the shoulder and said, would you sub for him? Would you fill in for him? Would you be one of the line leaders? And of course, in my pride, I said, how hard can it be? You know, I mean, come on. Well, I got to Prestonwood. How many of you have been to Prestonwood Baptist Church? It holds, you know, it's big. They call it the Prestodome, you know, Preston World. It holds like 56,000 people or something like that. It's huge. And I walk in and I realize, wow, I should have went to the practice rehearsal. I've gotten myself in over my head. I'm going to walk down and there's going to be people following me. And where do I go? I mean, I didn't know which pew to turn at. I didn't know. Well, one of the other gentlemen in the academic dean's office said, I've done this many times. He said, just follow me. Isn't that simple instruction? Just do what I do, he said. Just follow me. The only problem was he was on, you know, a few aisles over, and he was taking his group down that side, and I was taking my group down this side. And when I walked down that aisle, I just thought, wow, I'm not even sure which aisle to go down. And all these thousands of people watching me, it's on video, it's live streaming around the world. And I just kept kind of peeking over at him, and he, you know, chose an aisle, and I counted, one, two, I think this would be, and I went down an aisle, and man, I was never been so nervous. I had all these graduates behind me. And if I took them the wrong way, you know, the whole line would just, like a railroad crash, they would just all go the wrong way. And that's what Paul is saying here in our passage. Imitate me, he says. Follow me. Wow. Would you tell someone that? Someone that you're working with here at the church, maybe in VBS, maybe someone you're discipling. Would you say that to someone? Hey, just do what I do. Follow me. Live the way I live. How many of you have taught someone how to drive a car? Well, that'll increase your prayer life, won't it? And how many of you have just leaned over and said, you know, just do what I do. Drive like I drive. He says, follow me. Imitate me. That is not a prayer from pride. That is a prayer from the confidence in the gospel. Paul's not saying, you should just do what I do. I'm so perfect that you should live like I live. He's saying, I'm so confident in Jesus Christ. I'm so confident in the gospel. I'm so confident in the work that Jesus is doing in me that you too should imitate the way Jesus is changing me. Live like me. Let me ask you, who are you following? Maybe you're following a business leader and you're thinking, wow, someday I'm going to make as much money as that person. Maybe you're following an athlete. I've got three sons, and oftentimes they'll want to wear the same clothes as those athletes. They'll want to lift weights the same way those athletes lift weights. They even want to drink the same Gatorade that those athletes drink. They want to imitate those athletes. Who are you following? Who do you want to be like? Who are you trying to live like? Myself, I want to live like the bass player here, man. I wish I had hair like that. I'm follically challenged, okay? Some of you guys here, you're follically challenged. But I was here 2 years ago, and that fro was just getting started. It was about half of what it is now. Imagine when I come back 2 years from now, that fro is going to be up by the ceiling. Can we all just admit, this is the best fro in DFW, amen? We could say, man, I just wish I could play the bass like he plays the bass. I wish I could grow hair like he grows hair. I saw Jason leading guitar, and I saw, wow, that's his son playing guitar too. And I thought, I bet there's been times where Jason has just looked at his son and just said, you know, do what I do. I don't have time to go through it right now. We're getting ready to lead worship. Just do what I do. And it makes us wonder, doesn't it? Who are you following? Who are you trying to be like? Now, what do you do when you're waiting for graduation? I'll have to admit, up there in the balcony at Dallas Seminary, some people read books. Some people look at their iPad. Some people read their Kindle. What do you do when you're waiting to graduate? Another way to say it is, how to wait before you graduate? How to wait before you graduate? How to behave while waiting for commencement? Turn with me, if you haven't already, to Philippians chapter 3. You've just heard it read. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to pick it up with verse 17 and read down to 4:1 once again. 3:17 to 4:1. Follow along with me as I read in the New American Standard. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 down to 4, verse 1. You may have it on your iPhone. You may have it on your Google Glass. Philippians 3:17 to 4:1. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Now, we're going to try to look at four things today. Not your typical three-point sermon, okay? I know you accuse Dallas Theological Seminary people of always giving the three-point sermon. Not today, a bonus point today for Community Bible Church, CBC. Do you ever call it CBC? Is that a thing around here? Okay, CBC people, 4 points today. Now, can I get this done in the brief amount of time we have? Yes, I can, okay? I'm a trained professional. Not to worry. We will be done by 1:30, okay? I promise. Don't look at me like that. We'll be done on time. Okay, if you're the type that likes to take notes, follow along. Number one, we're going to look at two line leaders, okay? Two line leaders. Number two, two groups of graduates. Two groups of graduates. Number three, two graduations. And finally, one commencement address. Let me do that again for those of you that like to take notes. Number one, two line leaders. Number two, two groups of graduates. Number three, two graduations. And finally, one commencement address. Let's look at it together in verse 17. Paul says, imitate me. Two line leaders. One is Paul. Paul's saying, live like I live. Follow me. I'll lead the way. I'll follow Christ and you follow me. And then the other group he says there, do you see it in verse 17? Others who are following Christ. So those are the two line leaders. Number one is Paul, the apostle. And you remember Paul's background. Paul used to kill Christians. Paul hated the church. What kind of guy says, hey, follow me, live like me? Didn't he have any shame? Didn't he have any regret? Didn't he say, you know, I've had a pretty bad past, so I better not be a leader in the church? No, the gospel had completely changed his life. He found Jesus Christ and he found forgiveness. He started fresh with Jesus Christ. He didn't look back and say, well, I used to kill Christians, so I better sit this out. No, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And then he also said, and some of these other people who are following Christ, follow them. In fact, he says it as a plural here. Imitate me and watch the ones that are walking. He says, let's all be unitedly imitators. He doesn't say it individually. He doesn't say, you live your privatized, individualized Christian life. He says, let's do this as a group. In other words, hey, CBC, hey, fam, let's all follow Christ. Okay, let's do this together. Christianity in the New Testament is never a privatized, individualized, isolated walk. It's a group walk. It's all of us growing together. You see, we need each other here at CBC. We need each other in the body of Christ. I need what you bring, and you need what I bring. I mean, I love you. You love me. We are all to be an example, and we're all to follow an example. Did you hear that? We're all supposed to be an example, and we're all supposed to follow an example. When I saw the poster over here, I said, oh yeah, discipleship. Do you see it over there? Five foundational ministries. Look, discipleship, it covers the whole ministry. I see the Word, I see prayer, I see fellowship, I see evangelism, but then I see discipleship. That's the big picture that covers the whole strategy here at the church. Discipleship. It means follow me. So, do you have someone that you're discipling? Like VBS. That's discipleship. Those little kids will never forget VBS. I never forgot it. And some of you will pour yourself into the kids this next week. The youth group. The small groups. That's discipleship. Do what I'm doing. That's not pride. It's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, there was a sociologist named Albert Bandura. Maybe you studied him in college. Albert Bandura. And he did a famous experiment called the Bobo Doll Experiment. A lot of people in college have studied this. What he did was, he took a Bobo doll. Now, this was in the 1960s, so some of you are too young to know about this, but there was this vinyl plastic doll. It was like a clown, and you would punch it or hit it, and it would fall down, but it had weight on the bottom. It had sand on the bottom, so it was what? It would bounce back up, and that was fun for little kids. You know, you kind of punch it and hit the nose. It's like a squeak, and then it would fall down, but it would bounce back up, so a little kid could stay there for hours, you know, just playing with that. They didn't have video games back then, okay? But guess what this sociologist did? He said that so much of our behavior is modeled by other people that much more is caught than is taught. Much more is caught than is taught. And he said, I'll prove it. So he took a glass room like this, like these glass walls back there, and he had a mom come out, and the mom punched the Bobo doll, and she kicked it, and she stepped on it, and she was mean to it. She was hitting it, and she was yelling, "Socceroo!" That sounds like a 1960s word, doesn't it? "Socceroo!" And she would hit it, and she would step on it, and she would be really mean to it. And then he brought some little kids out. Little kids, first graders and second graders, and he had them watch. And they just watched and observed. And at first they were a little bit frightened, but then some of them started chuckling, and some of them started laughing, and so then a couple of days later, out on the playground, guess what Dr. Albert Bandura did? He introduced the Bobo doll to the kids. And guess what the kids did? They imitated what they had seen. A couple of them punched the doll, and a couple of them hit it, and a couple of them jumped on it, and one kid yelled, "Socceroo!" Isn't that the way we live as humans? I can see a commercial on TV and I can think, man, I want one of those. Man, I can have something come up on my social feed and I wish I was as cool as he. Man, I wish I was cool like him. And Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You don't need to live like the rest of Irving lives. You need to live like the people of CBC. Find someone here at CBC that's mature in Christ, that walks with Christ, and say, can I hang out with you? Can I meet with you occasionally? Can you pour into my life? That is a line leader. A line leader has to know where they're going. I noticed this book on discipleship, Master Discipleship Today. And you see what's on the cover. Can you see it all the way up here? Look at that picture on the cover. What are they doing? Hiking. And whoever's hiking, I mean, you got to know where you're going, right? If you're going to be the line leader on a big hike, you better know where you're going. And Jesus knows where he's going. You can't go wrong following Jesus Christ. There was a woman in Hawaii that was in the news yesterday because she had been lost in the woods for 3 weeks in Hawaii, and they thought she was dead, and they just found her alive yesterday. Lost in the woods for 3 weeks, and they just found her alive in Hawaii. And Jesus says, follow me, live like me. Jesus Christ, who had all authority on heaven and earth, and he laid down his life for us. That's how we're to serve. Well, two line leaders. Now let's look at two groups of graduates. There's two groups of graduates here. Do you see them? Look at the two groups of graduates. One group has their citizenship on earth, and one group has their citizenship in heaven. Look at verse 18. This is the group that has their citizenship on earth. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping. Philippians is known as a book of joy. The theme of the book of Philippians is joy. So it's surprising that we see Paul weeping here. Why do you weep in a book of joy? Because he says, look at their behavior. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is their shame. They set their mind on earthly things. That's one group of graduates. Don't follow that line. Don't follow that group of graduates. There are people that their whole life is about their appetites. What can I get? How can I be more satisfied? How can I live for me and mine? And Paul says, don't be like that. You know what the end of that is? The end of that, Paul says, is destruction. Wow. Even that pride will have an end. And the end of that pride is destruction. But there's another group of graduates. Look at it. I like this group much better. Verse 20, our citizenship is in where? Do you see it? Verse 20, our citizenship is where? In heaven, from which we eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Look how Paul describes him, piling up modifiers. The Savior, that's his role. He saves us. The Lord, that's our King, that's our Master. And he says specifically, Jesus Christ. See, you have a Lord. There's someone you worship. We follow somebody, don't we? The human body is made to follow and to worship something or somebody. And Paul says, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your citizenship isn't here on earth. We're just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, one day, we will definitely graduate. Now, there's a couple of graduations as well. There's a couple of group of graduates, but there's a couple of graduations. At graduation, you're changed, aren't you? How many of you know what you do with the tassel? Do you remember the graduation where you have the tassel? Yeah? You guys are doing it right. You're like, let's see. I can't remember as it goes. That's what happens. I was shaking hands when all 300 graduates came off the stage at Dallas Seminary. Man, that's a lot of handshakes. Some people are really excited now. They're like, ah! I'm like, oh, man, chill, bro. Wow. Shake hands with someone 300 times. But right before they shook hands, guess what they did? They were like, wait, is it this way? Is it that way? I can't remember. You're changed. You walk up on stage, you're not a graduate yet. And you walk back off stage and you're a changed person. You came up with a tassel hanging one way. You left with your tassel hanging the other way. You came up with a certain degree and you left with a higher degree. You came up and walked up one way and you walked back another. And Paul says, you're going to be changed when you see your Savior and your citizenship is in heaven. You'll get a new body. How many of you are ready for a new body? You're going to get a brand new body. Not this corruptible body, an incorruptible body. And only Jesus Christ has the energy, the authority, the power to change your body. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't get your body changed into a glorious body. That's the ultimate graduation. We're going to have a graduation party when we see Jesus Christ, our Savior. But there's another group, unfortunately, And they're also going to graduate to destruction. Verse 19, their end is destruction. Wow. How sad. So it asks the question, it really begs the question, it makes us wonder, which graduation are you going to? Are you going to the heavenly, once and for all, new body graduation? Or are you going to destruction? Recently I spoke at a homeschool graduation. That was fun. There weren't a lot of graduates. Anybody here ever been to a homeschool graduation? Okay, good. Now, when they called me, I thought, wow, really? Is there just one graduate? Did they have their own, like, marching band with one person? Was he the president of the student body? But they had put together about 10 graduates from the homeschool community, so that was fun. But the homeschool graduation was really honoring because they could take a lot of time. My daughter Haley graduated from University of North Texas 2 weeks ago, and that was kind of rushed, you know. I mean, there were about 500 graduates, so the guy was like, Haley Pettit, Carol Peterson, Tom Parmenter. I mean, he was really working his way through the list. So, you know, homeschool graduation, you got to really take some time to honor the people that are there. And when you see Jesus Christ face to face, He'll know all about you. He'll know what you've done. He'll know what you haven't done. He'll know your deeds in the body. He'll know those times when you followed Him and those times when you failed to follow Him. But either way, if you're in Christ, you're safe in Jesus' arms, and you will receive a crown. And then you will take that crown and lay it down at Jesus' feet. So to close, what do you do while you're waiting to graduate? What to do while you wait to graduate? Do you see it in chapter 4, verse 1? Look at it with me. Chapter 4, verse 1. What should you do? Say it together. Stand firm. Stand firm. When life in Irving gets really hard, stand firm. When you have those doubts about Jesus Christ, stand firm. When your girlfriend breaks up with you, stand firm. When the rent goes up, stand firm. When tuition gets too high, stand firm. When you have to pull one of those all-nighters, you remember those? Where you're up all night worrying, stand firm in Jesus Christ. When you feel like giving up, Paul says, imitate me. Stand firm. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this reminder from Philippians that we can stand firm in you. You'll take us all the way to graduation. And we realize that commencement is really the beginning of a brand new era that we'll be able to live for you forever and ever and ever. And those things on this world will fade away. But life with you will just be getting started. So I thank you for each person here today. Lord, may they imitate you and your Son, your glorious Son. May they imitate you and live for you and walk out their salvation. And we ask all of this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Spirit. And all the CBCers said,
thank you, Paul. I appreciate that very much. Stand firm. That's really nice to hear, because we need to it's one of those things you hear and you go, yes, stand firm, but then you like, wait, I can't do that. I can't. I don't have enough strength. That's the point. That is the point. You must stand in His strength.